The following message was given by brothers Peter Shao and Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, November 3rd, 2019. The title of the message is Christ as the Star out of Jacob. Scripture reading, Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, 5 and 6, 9 and 10, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, John chapter 6, verse 63, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, and Revelation chapter 1, verse 20.
Was very clear. In Genesis 1:26, God said he created man in his image and according to his likeness. This indicates that God, when he created man, his intention was that man would be his duplication, that man would be a vessel to contain him, to express him, and to represent him. Even it says in 1 John 3:2, it says that one day we will see God even as he is. So God wants a duplication of himself. Not only would his life be multiplied in us, but even his living would be reproduced in each one of us. And then in Numbers 24:17, in Balaam's prophecy, and the story I won't get into, in Balaam's prophecy, is Balaam says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. There shall come forth a star out of Jacob. So Balaam says, there will be a star out of Jacob. And who is this star? Well, the fulfillment of this type is found in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. There the Magi said, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star at its rising and have come to worship him. Notice that the Magi here didn't say the star was or a star. The Magi said his star. This indicates that Christ is the star. In Numbers 24, the star out of Jacob is Christ. And you know, brothers and sisters, consider something about stars. Stars, when do they shine? They shine at the night, at nighttime. You know, one day, Christ will come as the sun, the S-U-N sun, at the Lord's second coming. But before the Lord comes back, he came the first time as a star. He came as a star because now we're in a time where it's the dark age of the night. And in nighttime, Christ shines as the star. But remember, God's intention in creating man is not that he would just be a star himself. He wants a duplication of himself as the living star. So God's intention in creating man, I'll put it this way this morning, is that we, each one of us, would be a star, would be a living star. In fact, let's look at Daniel 12:3. Let's look at that verse again. And let's read that verse together. And those who have insight, like the shining of the heavenly expanse, and those who turn them righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You can see from this verse, those will shine like what? Like the shining of the heavenly expanse, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you have the aspiration to be a star? Amen. Realize that this is God's intention in creating you, creating me. So I hope we would all have this aspiration. In fact, Christ's followers, faithful followers, are shining living stars, those who follow Christ as the shining and living star to be his duplication. Now, that was just kind of laying the foundation of a very stinted, I guess, aspect of the truth. But I want to get to my burden this morning, which is 2 points about experience. You know, we need to become the duplication of Christ as the living star. But how do we become such a duplication? How do we become living and shining stars? I'm just going to share 2 points this morning, and Brother Dennis would share more. The first is, the living stars are those who give heed to the prophetic word of the scriptures as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in their hearts. I'll say something about our morning and say something about our day. Brothers and sisters, it's very interesting that when Christ is referred to as the star in the Bible, he's often referred to as the morning star. Not just any star, but the morning star. And what the morning star is that it's a star that appears in the darkest hour of the night, right before dawn, right before the day is about to begin. And what does this mean in our experience? It means that in the principle of the morning star, every Christian should rise up early because the morning is the best time to meet the Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, if we want to experience Christ as the morning star, we have to wake up early enough to experience him as our morning star. What do we do in the morning? We have fellowship with him. We praise and we sing. We pray, read the Bible with the ministry, and we pray to the Lord. And I was going over the word, and I have some verses I wanted to share with you all. When I first heard from the saints that, Peter, you need to spend time with the Lord, I had the thought, well, what do I do? Because then, you know, you hear something, a word like this, you get motivated, you want to spend time with the Lord. And then you're there, and you call the name of the Lord. After a minute, you know, this is when you first start, you just realize, what do I say now? Where do I go? You've ever had this experience when you first started spending time? Well, in Song of Songs, chapter 7, verse 12, listen to what this verse says. It says, let us rise up early for the vineyards. And then it says some things, and then it says, there I will give you my love. So what do? When we rise up early? We give the Lord our love. Amen. Oh, when we wake up in the morning, we just tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Another good verse is Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. I think this verse was here. Could you bring that verse up, saints? Okay, right here. And let's read this verse together. O Jehovah, in the morning you will hear my voice. In the morning I will set forth my words in order to you, and I will watch. There's something that I heard from a young working saints conference many years ago. Actually, I think it was around the time when it started, that touched me very much, and I want to share with y'all. It was a great help. This verse was used. Brothers and sisters, notice this verse. It says in the beginning, O Jehovah, in the morning, you will hear my what?
Voice.
My voice. What it doesn't say is, O Jehovah, in the morning, you will hear my thoughts. It doesn't say you will hear my thoughts. It says you will hear my voice. And my point is this. At the Young Working Saints Conference, might be more than 10 years ago, actually, the brother was sharing there, and he said, you know, you may have a morning time with the Lord, and he says, and the Lord knows where you are. And some of you, you may spend your morning time with the Lord on the subway. On the subway. Now, I'm not going to ask for those, you know, to raise a hand if you spend time with the Lord on the subway. But when the brother had said that, I thought, that's me. That's me. And he said, when you spend time on the Lord with the subway, the quality is just not the same as if you spent the time with the Lord in private. In private. And you know, brothers and sisters, this is, again, my personal experience. When we spend time with the Lord in the subway, my experience is that I have to be very quiet. I have to be very quiet. Because I want to live at peace with all men. right? And I don't want to make a big scene. And so when I first started to spend time with the Lord, it was just I would have the word or the ministry, and then I would see the words, and then I would just muse on the thoughts. You know, I would just muse over the words in the Bible. And I would do this every day. And I would never say anything, but I would just keep the Lord in my thoughts. Well, I have to testify, saints, that after a while, the sweetness of the Lord was not as great because I never spoke anything with my voice. And what the brother said to us that time at the Young Working Saints Conference really helped me. And it opened my eyes to see that you cannot just spend time with me in the subway. That's where you were, but you need to advance. You need to set apart some time to be with me privately in the morning when I can hear your voice. Is that not what the psalmist says? O Jehovah, in the morning you will hear my voice. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying this to discourage any of us. Actually, if we spend time with the Lord on the subway, that is good. And there is a time for our musing over the word. But if the Lord has touched you this morning, I hope we all have the aspiration, Lord, in the morning, I want to give you my voice and not just my thoughts. Okay. And then during this training message, I want to share this one prayer that the brother shared. I thought was very good. He said, if you don't know how to spend time with the Lord, tell the Lord that and pray this, Lord, I don't know how to spend time with you, but I want to spend time with you. Lord, have fellowship with me. Lord, be real to me. Manifest yourself to me. Okay. And then just a few more verses on our time with the Lord in the morning. Another key aspect is that the Lord gives himself as the morning star to those who love him, who watch and wait for him. And I want to dwell on this word, wait. If you go back to that verse in, brother, can you go back to that verse in 2 Peter, please? I think it was in the beginning, right? Okay. Now, Brother Dennis is probably going to get into this verse more, so I'm just going to point out one thing. Notice that the verse says, and we have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place. And then it says, until. Until what? Until the day dawns. We all know we should read the word. We all know we should give heed to Christ as the morning star. The question is, do we give heed to the morning star until the day dawns? The word until is crucial. Because it's not just a matter of doing something, it's a matter of whether you remain, whether you wait in the Lord's presence until you feel that there is some dawning of Christ as the living star within. I want to show you a verse, Psalm 37, verse 9. It's one of the verses that was prepared. Just remember this matter of waiting. It says, for the evildoers will be cut off. And then look at the second part. But those who wait on Jehovah, they will inherit the land. Amen. Oh, if we wait on Jehovah, we inherit the land. And the next verse, Psalm 59:16. I will sing of your strength, and I will joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. Amen. Oh, in the morning, we need to sing to the Lord joyfully. Amen. Not mournfully, but joyfully. And then the next verse, Psalm 104, it says, may my musing be sweet to him. I will rejoice in Jehovah. You know, sometimes our musing is, I feel that it's not very sweet to the Lord. I don't know, because a lot of times my musing is, oh, Lord, you know, it's either some things that you're dealing with, outward things, or it's some inward things that you're dealing with. And you're just pouring out problem after problem. But the whole time, the center, the focus is just, it's just myself. But And sometimes I do that for a while, and suddenly I have the realization, oh, Lord, that's not very sweet to you at all. I just feel like I'm giving you all my garbage. And it's not sweet. And of course, there's a time, and we should all open to the Lord about everything. But sometimes, saints, we just need to spend time to muse on His word, to muse on the light He's given to us, which are all very sweet to Him. Okay, and then one last example I'll share with you is in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. There is a young man, and I want to touch this matter of waiting in the Lord's presence. There is this young man, and he comes to the teacher, to the Lord. He says, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And you know, the Lord said, you know, these things. And he said, "Well, I do all those things already." And he said, "What do I still need to do?" And the Lord said, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in the heavens, and come, follow me." And it says, but the young man, hearing this word, went away sorrowing, for he had many possessions. Okay. And it says, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, with difficulty shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of the heavens." And so the Lord talked about, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if it's that difficult to enter into the kingdom of God, the disciples, they had a very reasonable response. They said, they heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Who then can be saved?" And looking upon them, Jesus said to them, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." What is the problem of that young man? It wasn't that he had many possessions. It wasn't even that he was rich. The problem of that young man is that he didn't wait. He didn't stay in the Lord's presence. If he had stayed in the Lord's presence, he would have heard the Lord tell him, "With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Brothers and sisters, many times if we come to the Lord, we touch the Lord, and we only stay a short amount of time, we may be like the young man, and we feel like, oh, the Lord has this requirement, and we go away sorrowing. You ever had that experience? But if we wait in the Lord's presence, many times the Lord will speak a word of faith to us and tell us, "You know what? With you, that is impossible. But with me, all things are possible." Amen. Oh, may we all have experiences of waiting, remaining in the Lord's presence. Okay, and the last point that I will go over is the living stars. So the first is to wait in the Lord's presence in the morning. The second is the living stars follow the heavenly, living, up-to-date, and instant vision of Christ. And basically what this is we need to have a living vision of Christ. You know, in Matthew chapter 2, okay, we go back to those verses in the beginning. Matthew chapter 2, I think it was, right there. It said that after Jesus was born, there were these magi that arrived in Jerusalem. Now, the magi, they appeared in Jerusalem, and they said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Because they had seen a star at its rising. And when they arrived at Jerusalem, consider this. Who was in Jerusalem? All these priests, scribes, religious people, the people who knew the scriptures, they knew the Bible well, but the living star did not appear to them. The living star appeared to the Magi, Brother Lee at one point said he believes they had no scriptural knowledge. Consider that. Christ as the living star appeared to people who did not have any knowledge of the scriptures. But they had the living vision. But don't say that, "Oh, then I just need the star. I just need to have the vision. I don't need the scriptures." Because what happened is they went to Jerusalem and they asked, where is he? And what did the scribe say? They quoted Micah 5:2. And they said, well, Micah 5:2 says, Christ will be born in Bethlehem. So that's where you need to go. And so King Herod met with these magi and said, okay, you go to Bethlehem. You go to Bethlehem. But what? But when you hear about it, when you see Christ, let me know. Let me know. Now, these magi, they had the living vision. But that wasn't enough because they had to be corrected by the scriptures. It's not enough to have Christ as a living star. You do also need the correction of the Holy Scriptures. And even that, it's not enough. Because after the priests and the scribes heard that they saw the living star, and they knew that Christ was going to be in Bethlehem, did they follow the Magi? No, they did not. What did they do? They stayed in Jerusalem. Oh, brothers and sisters, this shows that the priests and the scribes, they had no heart to seek after Christ. So Matthew chapter 2 is a great chapter because it shows that there are three keys to finding Christ. Number one, we need Christ as the living star. Number two, we need to receive the correction of the scriptures and that have the knowledge of the scriptures. And number three, we need to have a heart that seeks after Christ. If we have all these things, brothers and sisters, I assure you, when you come to the Word, whenever you do anything in the church, you will find Christ. You will find Christ. So number one, Christ, have Christ as the living star. That's Him as our living revelation, living vision. Number two, have the knowledge and correction of the scriptures. And number three is to have a heart that seeks after Christ. Okay. There's one little story about having Christ as the living vision, as the living revelation, as our living presence and our living guidance that I want to share with you all. There's a very good story. In Joshua chapter 6, I believe it's chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, you've all heard of the great city of Jericho, right? The great city of Jericho. And Jericho was a city with very big walls, and the children of Israel came, and because they had sought the Lord, and they sought Jehovah, and they listened to Joshua, and so eventually they were able to conquer this huge city with huge walls called Jericho. But then in chapter 7, they come to this tiny city called Ai. Ai. And when they come to this city, they were negligent. And they were loose. And they thought, you know, the Lord was with us in Jericho. So surely Jehovah is going to be with us in Ai. And so they just kind of did whatever they wanted. And at Ai, the people of Israel suffered a great defeat. When they came to the great city of Jericho, they had a great victory. But then when they were at the tiny city of Ai, they suffered a great defeat. And the ministry has a very wonderful word on this. And it interprets why, brothers and sisters, why do we have spiritual defeats in our lives? And I want to share this with you. It says this. At Ai, the children of Israel forgot God and knew only themselves. Israel acted on their own without seeking the Lord's direction and without having the Lord's presence. And this is the key sentence right here. The secret of Israel's defeat at Ai was that they had lost God's presence and were no longer one with God. Have you ever experienced where when it comes to the great things in your life, you desperately seek the Lord's presence, but when you come to the little things, we become negligent and we forget to seek the Lord's presence? The ministry says that is the secret of our defeat. After this defeat, Joshua learned the lesson of staying with the Lord before the ark. Eventually, the Lord came in to speak to him and tell him what to do. The spiritual lesson to be learned from this account is that we, the people of God, should always be one with our God. who is not only among us, but also in us. If we have the Lord's presence, we have wisdom, insight, foresight, and the inner knowledge concerning things. The Lord's presence is everything to us. Brothers and sisters, we need to be one with Him, not only when we face the Jerichos, but especially when we face the little Ais. There we may trust ourselves and not be one with God. It is easy to accumulate spiritual knowledge, but if we would have living guidance, we must live in an intimate relationship with the Lord. We must be one with Him. Actually, this matches what we heard at the conference last weekend. You remember those four phrases? Jesus only, hear Him, gain Christ with Him. I hope we would all have this in our morning and in our daily living.
I'd like to open with one of the verses we had this week in our morning watch we had it this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Let me read them to you. If you have your Bible, you could open to there. Unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in Him, in whom also we were designated as an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of His will. I was struck by this verse this morning. I think we all realize the environment that we are living in this country right now, and maybe all over the world right now, is quite alarming. And especially as believers, we are affronted by many, many things. And I think many of us in our hearts just want the Lord to come back. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
We just want the Lord to come back to solve all these problems, because we realize that we can't solve them. The governments aren't going to solve them. Our leaders aren't going to be able to solve them. And we have seen something, according to the Word, the Lord Jesus will solve them, right? He will come back and set up His kingdom, and there will be peace on earth. And He will bring His kingdom to the earth. So we have this desire, we have this goal and this intention, and sometimes I'm afraid, I'll just speak for myself, I lose sight of it. And I just get upset about all the things going on and get occupied with all the things, but it's not going to help to get upset. What helps is that we need to grow in life, right? We need to become the living stars, as our brother mentioned. And so I think this week's fellowship does help us in light of the Lord's coming. And I say that because of this footnote in Micah 5:2. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees gave the Magi this verse to help them to realize that God's Son will be born in Bethlehem. From Micah 5:2, and which says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, so little to be among the thousands of Judah, from you there will come forth to me." This phrase is very important. "Come forth to me, he who is to be ruler in Israel, and his goings forth are from ancient times, from the days of eternity." Come forth and his goings forth. And there's a footnote on this that helped me a lot this week. I really enjoyed it. Let me read you, not all of it, but most of it. "This verse prophesies concerning the incarnation of Christ in Bethlehem. Although Christ came forth from Bethlehem, his goings forth were from ancient times, from the days of eternity. This refers to Christ's original origin and indicates that in eternity, before the creation of the earth, Christ was preparing to come forth. Christ's appearing, his manifestation, began in eternity." Not just at Bethlehem, right? "Began in eternity. From ancient times, from the days of eternity, the triune God was preparing to come forth out of eternity into time, to come with his divinity into humanity by being born in Bethlehem as a man. His creating of all things was his preparation for him to come out of eternity and into time." Then the second paragraph says this: Christ going forth, his appearing, is a continuous matter. I was really struck by this. At the time of his incarnation, he began to come forth. After his incarnation, he continued to go forth through his human living, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his outpouring of the consummated Spirit, who is the reality of Christ himself, and his spreading through the preaching of the gospel to the whole inhabited earth. This is Christ continuing to go forth. He hasn't stopped going forth. He is still going forth. All these are great steps in Christ's going forth. His going forth has not ceased, but is continuing today. And this is what I want to begin with. His going forth is continuing today. Never forget this. In the midst of all the problems, and even our personal problems, in the midst of all the trials and all the tribulations, whatever suffering we're passing through, we have to realize Christ is still going forth today. He is still moving toward the goal, and we want to be with him, right? Christ going forth, his manifestation will consummate when he comes back with the overcomers as the mighty ones to defeat Antichrist and cast him into the lake of fire. When Satan is cast into the lake of fire, and when Christ sets up his throne to reign as king, at that time his appearing will be complete. Praise the Lord. But this last point is for us today, right? While Christ is on the way, he is taking care of the scattered Jews on the one hand, Israel is another, is under God's chastisement, and on the other hand, they are under God's shepherding, and he is shepherding God's preservation of Israel, and he is taking care of us all the time. And his going forth is his shining in us. It's his enlightening us. It's his supplying us in all that we are going through. So I was very encouraged by this. So my burden this morning is on the second half of the outline for we were reviewing this week, which says this: Christ's faithful followers are shining and living stars, those who follow Christ as the shining and living star to be his duplication. Christ is going forth to make us stars. He is the star of Jacob, and he is the morning star. But he wants to make us stars, that we also could be his duplication, to be those shining like him, to be those preaching the gospel the way he preached the gospel, to be those shepherding one another, to be light to one another, to be life supply to one another, that we all may go on with Christ in his goings forth. Amen. That eventually we could be produced, right, as the overcomers to bring Christ back. This is our goal. This is why we were saved. This is why we were here. And this is why we need Christ as our light, as our shining star. And we need him day by day as our shining star. And our brother mentioned this verse, Daniel 12:3, which, by the way, for those of us who get our sheet every week and enjoy the verses, was misprinted this week. We had the wrong verse for that for Daniel 12:3. Daniel 12:3 says, "And those who have insight will shine like the shining of the heavenly expanse, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever." I was touched with this point about the fourth day lights. You know, God said, "Let there be light," on the first day of his recreation of the earth. And there was light, and many things happened at that time. But eventually, on the fourth day, he said, "Let there be the light bodies, the sun and the moon and the stars." And that was for the further growth in life, which means to us, if we want to grow in life, we need more light. We need solid light. We need the light bodies, the sun, which represents Christ himself, and the S-U-N, which represents Christ himself. And we need the moon, which is a type of the church. And we need the stars, which are types of every one of us who are mature in life and who are shining and who express the Lord. We need one another. And it's really the truth, you know. in my experience, coming into the church life, I received a lot of light just from being with the saints and just from being in the meetings. And there was a lot of exposing. That's very healthy. The more light we get, especially if we get some light on our faults and on our shortcomings and our sins, we should confess. And we confess, the blood cleanses, and we get more life. We grow in life. And even with the matter of the individual saints, I don't know, I think many of us have this experience. I have this experience. Sometimes I'm just low and I really need some supply. I need to get back to the Lord, but by myself and in myself, I'm just having a hard time. And I get a phone call from a brother, or I have an appointment with a saint, or we have some saints over, and just being with them, they don't even have to talk about Jesus all the time. Just being with them, I get enlightened. I receive light because they're full of life. And from this life that is in them, it flows to me, it flows to us, and we get enlightened. And it's quite refreshing, bringing us into the light and bringing us into the supply. And those verses in Genesis chapter 1, maybe we could bring them up again, brothers. I think we have them. We have those verses, Genesis 1, 14. Is it 16 through 18? Yeah, let's read these. And God made the two great light bearers, the greater light bearer to rule the day, and the lesser light bearer to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse. And God saw that it was good. This struck me. And to rule over the day and over the night. Usually when we think of light, we don't think of light in the sense of authority. But light and authority here are one and the same. He gave us these lights to rule over the day, to rule over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. This is a tremendous thing. We need light to rule over us first. And when there's light, there is authority. If we're here as the testimony of Jesus, expressing Him as light, there's authority. And it's not because we're anybody, we're nobody, but Christ is light, and with light there is authority. You know, in darkness, there's confusion, right? When you're in the total darkness, you don't know where anything is. It's just confusion. But once the light goes on, everything is clear. Everything is clear. The light brings in the authority. And in the message, the brother shared this kind of a testimony. You know, if we are in a room and it's totally dark and there's a window and outside it's light, then in the darkness, we see all the things that are outside, and it's very easy and we're very quick to judge all of those things. And I think this has been my experience. You know, when I see the saints and start judging them, I have to realize I'm in darkness. Because when we're in the light, we don't judge anybody. In the light, the Lord's judging us. And so we're just very, you know, we have this kind of experience. We don't want to say anything against anybody. But when we're in darkness, it's very clear to us what's wrong with you. Very clear to me what's wrong with you, because I'm in darkness. So then I criticize you. This is a terrible thing. And this will not help us to grow. We need to be those who are under the authority of the light. We need to be those under the authority of Christ as our light. And that will help us to go on, and that will help us to grow. I did want to say something about 2 Peter 1:19 related to this verse. Let's read this verse again, 2 Peter 1:19. I just want to echo a little bit of what Peter mentioned. This verse is very precious to me. I really appreciate this verse. And I think the couple of points that really touched me is that we have this prophetic word. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God. And we need to give heed to the Word. That was the first phrase that struck me this week. Give heed. Pay attention to it. Spend some time to concentrate on it, to dive into it. Give heed to it. And open up to God speaking through the Word. Right? Give heed to it as a lamp shining in a dark place. As I mentioned, when the lamp goes on, everything is bright. And we get exposed. And this week I was exposed a lot by spending some time in the Word. Actually, I was exposed also by spending some time with some of you, getting into the light. And that's very healthy for us and causes us to grow. Because when we repent, when we confess, when we deal with our shortcomings and our failures, then, you know, the Lord forgives. The blood is there. We get cleansed and we grow. We get more light. And we need this. We need to grow. Until the day dawns. And I've had this experience, and I think many of you have had this experience. I want to have this experience more. Spend the time until something starts dawning within you. Until the day dawns, the light comes. Until the day dawns, and the morning star, who is Christ, rises in our hearts. You know, even His goings forth is going forth from our heart, from our spirit, into our soul. He's spreading, right? Making home in our hearts. That's part of His rising in our hearts. His spreading, His going forth in our hearts. It's not just going forth outwardly to set up the kingdom. It's firstly going forth in our hearts to set up His kingdom. That He would have the authority in us, and He would have the authority in the kingdom. And I think Peter cover this very well. This means we just need to spend more time. And, you know, it's not to, I know we're very busy, especially in this city, and the commute is very long. And, you know, maybe it's not always we can spend that much time alone in the morning, but we can still spend time with the Lord during the day. The point is to spend time in the Word until something happens. I don't know if that's 5 minutes. I don't know if that's 10 minutes. Some days it is 10 minutes. With me, some days it takes 20 minutes, but I like to stay until the Lord rises in our hearts. And that will really help us. I'd like to end with Brother Ed Marks gave this message during the training, and he gave us 7 points, right, of how we can become the shining stars. 7 points of how we can become the shining stars. So I'm just going to list them and maybe give you a verse. And, you know, the details of the 7 points are in the ministry magazine if you want to find them. Okay, how can we be the 7 stars? Number one, light is in the Word of God. So we need the Word of God. I think this is very evident. The Word of God, not just the black and white Word, but according to John 63, the Word is spirit and is life. We get the light from the Word that becomes spirit to us. You know, we have these two words, logos and rhema. It's not just simply the logos, not simply the black and white that is light. It's when that black and when the rhema becomes, or until it dawns, then it becomes spirit. It becomes light to us. So we need to take the Word that the Spirit speaks to us. So, you know, even sometimes you're reading the verse and the Spirit speaks something to you. It has nothing to do with the content of the verse. That's okay. That's light, right? And you have Psalm 119, 105, and 130, like your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. The word is light. The opening of your word gives light. These are very good verses. Then the second point is, enlightening rests with the mercy of God. We cannot manufacture light. And even though you may want the light, it still rests with the mercy of God. It's the Lord's mercy that we would be enlightened and that we would receive light. It's the Lord's mercy. So as we're seeking and as we're praying, we can pray, Lord, have mercy. I want to see. I want more light. We can pray for it. that it doesn't necessarily come just because of the prayer. It's all in the Lord's hand. Then the third point is, we must want the light, and we must accept the light as it comes. If you don't want it, if you don't have a heart to, you know, accept it, to say amen to it, then the Lord will not shine. We must want and accept the Lord's shining. The verse is Psalm 27, verse 8. The fourth point is, we must open ourselves and then open our hearts without any reservation. Lord, speak whatever you want to me. Shine on whatever you want to shine. Without any reservation, open everything to him. You know, oftentimes we say, Lord, shine on me, but don't touch this. I want this. I still want this, so just leave that alone. But everything else, Lord, I'm wide open. I'm wide open. Well, I don't think you'll get much light if we try to hold on to something for ourselves. Those who close themselves are, anyway, if we're closing ourselves, we're the ones in the dark room judging others. That's not so good. The fifth point is, we must put a stop to ourselves, to our views, to our feelings, to our opinions. We must experience the cross. Put a stop to ourselves so that the Lord can shine, speak to us what is on his heart. Then number six, we must not dispute with the light of the Spirit. We must accept the light. If you argue with the Lord, if he shines and says, this, you shouldn't have said this to your wife. But she said this first. If you argue, no light. You have to accept the light as it is. Say amen to the light. And then the last part, in order to be enlightened, we must constantly live in the light. Right? 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And also Ephesians 5:8, which is, we are children of light, so walk in the light. This is like the last point Peter mentioned from the weekend conference. We must stay with him. We must be with him. And then we will be those who are full of light. We will be those who are shining stars in the churches. And we will be those who can even give light to others. How about we sing hymn 366, the Charles Wesley hymn on Christ as the light?